Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Oh, we are getting down in the studio, and thank you very much to the Nudie Foodie, who's been giving us the lowdown and the skinny on what to put in your tummy this weekend. Joe, welcome to the Escape Pod, Joe.
Yes, Mark. Good afternoon. And it's a stunning afternoon. We've got James Cardmell. Good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Mark. How are you?
James, welcome to Joy 94.9, and thank you for joining us on the Escape Pod.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Now, you don't sound like you hail from around here, James.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Well, come on, spill the beans. Everyone's anxious to hear.
Oh, well, I actually moved here back last November. I actually arrived in Australia with my family on Melbourne Cup Day.
Oh, that's an auspicious start. Did you have a bet?
No, not quite. I was betting on hitting the pillow pretty soon after I arrived.
It is a long flight.
Yeah, and well, I was traveling with my, at the time, like 10-month-old little girl, so that made it a little bit more challenging. But originally I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the east coast of the U.S., spent the last 5 years in Washington, D.C., and just moved out here to Australia, living in Sydney now with my family, starting up our new travel operation.
And we didn't mean to spill the beans earlier, but we did start to talk about the huge crisis that's in Nepal, and I understand that the organisation that you work for has actually launched a relief effort. Would you like to talk to us?
Philanthropy is something we take very seriously, and supporting a lot of the local communities that we visit on the tours that we offer worldwide. We do go to Nepal on one of our tours that goes to India, and even if we didn't, we'd still believe in helping those people that were devastated by the earthquake. So made a lot of contributions. We've donated, around $50,000 to the relief efforts, and continuing to match donations that our travelers and travel partners make.
Oh, that's a terrific idea. So do you have some information on your website as to how that matching process is going?
Yeah, please. Yeah, check out the website. Go to gocolette.com, we're going to be matching up to $20,000 that people want to contribute to the relief efforts there. There's also another website, particularly about our Colette Foundation, which is kind of the body managing the campaign, and that's www.colettefoundation.org. You just have to write in Nepal relief into your memo, and again, we'll be matching all those donations. So, as a company, we really believe that giving back is really important. We have a employee-run charitable organization that is the Colette Foundation that gives back to a lot of the local communities that, we visit in a lot of our tours, and we really believe in supporting the people in Nepal when they need it most right now.
So you do tours to Nepal, don't you?
Yeah, we do it. We do one as an extension to our India tour. Mm-hmm. So people can go to India, then kind of hop over to Kathmandu for 4 days. Want to help those people out.
So what happens as a tour group operator when an event like this happens and all of a sudden you've got people in Nepal, and hopefully you don't have anyone there at this particular time, but what do you do? What are your contingency plans to make sure that natural events are managed from the tour group point of view?
Well, we have a big body in our headquarters that's constantly evaluating, global emergencies and things as they come up. So if there is ever any doubt or risk associated with traveling to a certain destination, we'll just go ahead and cancel any of the plans. We'll make sure that people, you know, are being taken care of as far as in hotels or relative flights out of a specific country as they are needed. And then, you know, we have a policy where if ever anything cancels or on the anything comes up and people can't go on with a specific portion of the trip, they're automatically refunded all the money that was going towards that part of their holiday. So, we really, you know, our goal is to protect our customers and safety first, and also our employees, you know, who are on the ground, and that's something we are monitoring constantly. You know, not only in situations like global natural disasters, but also, you know, political problems we were talking about earlier. You know, some of the people that we had on tour in Egypt several years ago
were they near Hatshepsut?
Yeah. They were some of the first people to get out of the country. You know, we were taking care of other tour groups that were there and making sure they were all safe and taken care of. Our tour manager on the tour had to give a lot of people on the trip cash who didn't have any readily available, so they could, you know, buy themselves food and things like that in the airport and travel safely home. So, it's, you know, like I said, it's our goal is to, with every travel that we do, make it easy, stress-free, and make sure everyone's taken care of.
And I guess the other thing is, too, that if you're involved in travel, it means that you have a connection to a global community. And and when something's amiss, when there's some grief in one part of that community, it's something that we all do is to step up in any way that we can to make sure that people can get back on their feet and importantly get the aid that they need as quickly as they can.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the best things about travel is that when you go around the world, when you see these different cultures and communities, you know, you start to care about them, and it improves a sense of humanity and you know, a connectedness that we all share. And so, you know, when you see other people going through hard times, it definitely broadens your horizons and makes you want to help a little bit more to protect, you know, their way of life. So, like I said, it's definitely something we take seriously.
It's a very important asset that needs a lot of nurturing. So just going back a little bit, what made you jump on a plane and arrive here in Sydney on Melbourne Cup Day last year?
Well, so, you know, Colette's always had a really strong, you know, presence here in Australia, actually doing inbound tours. We're one of the largest tour operators sending North Americans and British to Australia. So we've kind of had it on our sites for a while to create an office here in Sydney for outbound travelers. So we've been doing a lot of research over the past couple of years, and essentially last year, kind of around this time, they posted that this, you know, opportunity and position was going to be available, and I got an email at 11 o'clock at night, or I rolled over in bed, and I said, hey, I asked my wife Megan, I said, hey, check this out, what do you think? And she was like, oh, you should go for it. So, you know, just kind of went through the application process, was, you know, lucky enough to get a job, and go through the visa process, and the whole move, and yeah, arrived last November.
Been about 6 months now.
Yeah, about 6 months. You know, we've always wanted to live abroad in different areas. You know, it was kind of a big goal of mine, you know, in life. And yeah, when something came up like this to Australia, you know, we were all about it.
Mm. So, has your daughter now got an Australian accent?
Well, she pretty much just says, like, hi and bye and
because kids always get the accent of their peers.
Yeah. She knows how to say her, like, stuffed animals by name. But that's really, I wouldn't classify it as an accent yet.
You said 6 months old, though.
She's about 16 months old.
16 so. Months old, that's okay.
Yeah,
so.
She
no will pressure.
Be, she will be, yep.
So, migrating to Australia for, I'm assuming this is a limited period role, have you decided to stay longer?
Well, right now it's kind of open. It's a 457 4-year visa.
Right.
So, you know, we'll kind of play it by ear.
Cross that bridge.
The end of that. Yeah. Mm.
So, what was your first impression in arriving in Sydney? What, as you got off the plane with your family, what struck you the first as different to the States in Australia?
You know, to be honest with you, I think it's mainly, you know, the the landscapes and the climate that are the most different. I felt like you could be walking down the street, except for the cars being on the other side of the road, and you know the landmarks, the culture, the architecture is very very similar.
Yeah, particularly with Philly. Yeah, I think.
Yeah. So so that was you know, I felt like almost home in that way. But you know, when you're taking the train over the bridge over Sydney Harbour, for example, or you know, going flying into Melbourne and you can see the landscapes around you, that's when it's a little bit different. You have you have just that beautiful harbor and crystal clear blue water, beautiful beaches. I don't think I'm ever going to be able to go back to the beach on the east coast of the U.S. after staying here for
not
a
New
years,
Jersey, so.
No, yeah, that's exactly, yeah, Ocean City, New Jersey. I love it, but the water does not compare.
Yeah, just bear with us for a moment. We've got a couple of really quick messages, and then we'll get back to you very soon.
Sure.
Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks, James.
Did you know Joy Audio Production Services can help you with your audio recording needs, no matter what the task at hand? We have a way to support you and your business. We can produce radio-style interviews for your website, on-hold greetings, podcasts, voiceovers for video, and more. Call Joy's production manager, Jason, on 1-300-569-949 or email production@joy.org.au. That's 1-300-569-949. Joy Audio Production Services, commercial-grade audio quality at community radio rates.
We're lucky enough to have James Cartmell from Colette with us today in the Escape Pod. James, before we went to a break, you were telling us about how much you quite fall in love with Australian beaches.
Yeah, especially the beaches around like the Sydney area. I haven't checked out a lot of the other ones across the country, but I've been going there quite a bit and, yeah, been falling in love with them.
So Colette, does Colette do a lot of tourism, inbound tourism around Australia?
Yeah, we do actually. We have quite a bit of inbound tours that go to like Australia, New Zealand, Fiji. If you were to go to North America and talk with a lot of the travel agents and things we do business with up there, you'd know that it's kind of one of our bread and butters for out of the U.S.
So, from a Colette and American point of view, what is a tour to Australia about? What do people look for from your group's point of view?
Most of the people, you know, if they're first of all, Americans are not as good on flying. So if they're coming to Australia and they're going across the Pacific, they're going to make sure they see everything.
Right.
So they want to make sure, you know, you go to Sydney, go to the Great Barrier Reef, go out to the Outback and see Uluru and then down to Melbourne for a couple of days. See all the food and or taste all the food and see the little penguins do their trip on Phillip Island and then that's usually accompanied with maybe a week or two over in New Zealand as well. Americans they're not too good on the long flight, so they want to come out here for a couple weeks at a time. It's big for them.
And what about your finding, having been here in the Australian market now, what are you finding that Australians are looking for when it comes to their group travel?
Well, I think a big trend for Australia right now is more of like when they're doing escorted tours, more of like the small group trips that allows a little bit more of an intimate experience.
What do you mean by small group? I don't understand what a big, small or medium group would be.
Yeah, good call. So, I think a lot of the tour operators around there are out there, and Colette included, most of the tours that you'll find are, typically around 40 up to maybe 50 people. And and a lot of times I think people want to travel in a group of more like 12 to 20 people.
Or two.
Yeah. so that you can get off the beaten path a little bit, Australians are such good travelers, so they've been to so many places before, and if they're going to do a group tour, I think a lot of times they want to do something a little bit different, a little bit unique, and have a little bit more of a in-depth experience.
So when you're talking about groups, do you specifically have tours that are arranged for the gay and lesbian community?
Not specifically. All our tours are just really open for anybody. Our prime, really, we don't kind of break it down too much besides mainly the people who are about to or recent retired, so like 50 and up.
Right.
So we're seeing a lot of just people who are, you know, saved up a lot of their money over the years, and now are looking to do a lot of traveling and go see different parts of the world.
I don't think our guests of the other week, Richard and Andrew, would mind me saying, but I think they're in the target market zone.
Yeah. But they put all the labour onto one of their dear friends.
they do. But we've had a number of guests recently who've been in the Escape Pod, and they've talked about how much they've really enjoyed the group tour experience. And just what they've got out of it, and perhaps just having some of the pressure taking off in terms of doing the driving and at the same trying to do the photography at the same time as trying to do the navigating. So there's clearly an element of just, well, if I'm going to give it all over to someone else, let's do it.
Right. And I think one thing with the group tour too, I think, you know, I've known people that have been to Paris before, right, on their own, and then, you know, they'll go back a second time on a group tour and they'll be like, I can't believe all the things I missed, you know, with the tour manager and with the story and the narration they give, a lot of great information and history that you wouldn't have otherwise gotten. So a lot of people like that.
So how much freedom is there? I'm a very independent person. Like, I refuse to be breastfed. I'm that independent.
So, but you won't go on boats.
But yeah, not so great with boats. I would like to remain independent of the ocean. How much freedom is there on the average tour for people to have some time on their own, to do their own thing, maybe sit in a park with a bottle of wine, or go sit in a cinema with a bottle of wine? I'm thinking of France a lot here.
Well, I think it depends on the tour. You know, we have 160 tours to choose from, and if you're in a place like Kenya, for example, doing a safari, you don't have a lot of freedom. The things that we're including are like the game drives and different ways to meet like the Maasai people and the Maasai Mara. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be a lot more structure to that type of tour. But a lot of the ones that we do in North America and Europe, a lot more developed countries, you'll have a lot of tours that feature a lot more multiple night stays in each city. So, you know, our tours that go to France, for example, will have, you know, 3 nights in Paris, 3 nights in Provence, then 3 nights in Nice. So each kind of segment of the trip will have a lot of free time for people to go out and do their own thing and kind of make their own experience.
And how about yourself, James? What kind of travel do you like to do?
Oh, I like to do things kind of along those lines. You know,
you've drunk the Kool-Aid, is what you're saying.
Yeah, a little bit. I like, you know, I want it to be a holiday. You know, if I'm spending a lot of my vacation time to its full advantage, I want to be able to relax, you know, still meet the people and see some really great things in that destination that I can't really find anywhere else, and things that make it unique. But I still want plenty of time to, you know, sleep in and rest and kind of get away from everything.
So did you manage to negotiate the 4 weeks that we get here in Australia into your contract while you're out here, or are you on a slightly shorter vacation time?
No, I was able to get the 4 weeks.
Well done.
Thank goodness. So, yeah, I went from 2 to 4 just in the flight.
It's an enjoyable thing.
Yeah, when you're here, you've got to do it like the locals do it.
Yeah.
And what are your what's your next destination here?
You know, we've been kind of jumping around. I've been going around a lot of different places for work. Going up to Brisbane a couple weeks. I'm going out to Perth next week. But we are planning a trip later in the year with my wife and daughter out to New Zealand. So looking forward to kind of driving around the South Island, seeing some of the beautiful scenery.
Oh, it's a wonderful country, New Zealand.
It is, yeah. I'll be back there again in a couple of weeks for all of the things that I do wrong on the world. Constantly in a plane. But it is beautiful.
Yeah. I had the pleasure of going to Queenstown a couple of years ago. And, I just couldn't get enough of that beautiful lake and all the beautiful scenery around that area. So I'm
looking forward
to going back. Yeah, people are pretty good too.
Kiwis are all right.
Yeah.
I was at work.
I was riding my horse.
I was microwaving a watermelon.
My iguanas escaped.
There are lots of reasons why you may have missed your favourite show, but don't worry, because our podcast team has you covered. They'll work through rain, hail and national glitter shortages to bring you the best bits of every show. Visit joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab, or head to the iTunes Australia podcast store and subscribe to your favourite shows for free. Thanks to our podcasters, you'll never feel guilty about missing a show again. joy.org.au.
And we've got people who've got some questions for James, because we've got James Cartmell from Colette on the line. I mean, he's in Sydney, but we will forgive him for not being in beautiful Melbourne.
James is a travel professional, and Colette specialises in doing group travel. Over the last couple of weeks, we've had a bit of a theme of people who have done some group travel, and instead of people going on them, we've got someone who's the part of the organising. So, James, we've had two different questions. The first one was about the Rockies. Charlie from Caulfield is very, very interested in the Rockies, US and Canada, and understands there are many different opportunities, but wants to hear if what your thoughts are of a good tour through the Rockies.
Yeah, I actually had the pleasure of going to the Canadian Rockies last April. So I guess it's kind of one of the perks of the job. We get to go around all over the place and so know what we're talking about a little bit. And first of all, I love Vancouver. I think any trip to the Canadian Rockies should definitely start there. Spending a couple of days, you can take a trip out to Vancouver Island, you know, check out Victoria, then spend several days at leisure in Vancouver. I think it's fantastic. And then what I did was, and I know, you know, the train is very popular here in Australia, but I definitely recommend taking that train from Vancouver out up into Jasper and Banff and some of the beautiful national parks they have up there. Now, what Colette does is a little bit different to, you know, the popular Rocky Mountaineer. We actually use a company called the Via Rail. It's a lot of what Canadians and Americans do. It is a little bit different in that you actually spend the night on the train. So it's a little bit more authentic, more, you know, adventurous experience. But the food that they prepare on board the train is very good. And there's different, you know, bar and lounges on the train. So you can actually go from car to car, you know, from your own private room to the, you know, 360-degree dome cars, to the different lounges, and have a really neat, kind of fun 24- or 28-hour trip up to Jasper. And then, you know, once we go there, we go to beautiful glaciers, wonderful overlooks, and different lakes, and stay in some really wonderful resorts like the Chateau Lake Louise and the Banff Springs Hotel, which are probably like my one and two favorite resorts I've ever stayed in. Just unbelievable locations and unbelievable character and just wonderful rooms. So, yeah, it's a really fantastic trip. It's actually the trip that we've done as far as the highest customer satisfaction on all the trips that we do. So, yeah, I definitely recommend people go up to Canada and check out the mountains and the different Rockies and national parks up there. And that's a wonderful tour that I would suggest. You can definitely combine it with like an Alaskan cruise or, you know, other national parks down in the USA. So
you're kind of saying, would you like fries with that, aren't you?
What's that?
You're saying, would you like fries with that? You've worked out how to upsell. We're going from Canada. Now we're doing Alaska. It's very good.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Well, it's tough to,
as long as it's only another dollar, I'll do it.
Yeah, right? It's tough to go all that way and just do that. You know, you got to make the most of your experience.
And another question we've got in is from Karen from Richmond. She's interested in travelling with her mother, who is advanced in years. She was listening to our show with Andrew and Richard a couple of years ago, a couple who do a lot of travel.
I hope it was
travel.
A couple of weeks ago. A
couple of weeks ago. What did I say?
Years.
Years? Where am I?
I told you, playing that song Amnesia would be trouble.
Exactly. Where are we?
We're in the escape pod on Joy 94.9. Right,
okay. I'm back. So Karen was wondering if she's travelling with her mum, can you have tours that sort of suit them both? So if there's a bit of assistance for someone who's an older person, then a younger person who maybe want to do other things, is that something that is a part of what you offer or a part of what tour groups? Are there different companies that do that special kind of thing?
Yeah. No, we do that kind of thing all the time. What we'd probably do is just make sure that we, you know the mother's condition or anyone's condition ahead of time, so that tour manager kind of knows exactly what we need to tailor to that individual. And then we'll do everything we can in the destination to make sure that they're, you know, getting around and seeing everything and having a great time.
So would that also be the same for travelers with disabilities?
Yeah. I just think, you know, the important thing with that is, you know, I wouldn't recommend a specific destination that can't really tailor to that specific disability. For example, if people need walkers or if they're in a wheelchair, it's very difficult sometimes to get around, you know, really old cities, you know, in small towns in Italy, for example, because the streets are so narrow, there's so much cobblestone and so many hills.
Mm.
And the hotels don't have elevators.
Well, yeah. True. Older European hotels.
Yeah, so... we can tailor it as a company, but I would just, it's more about the destination.
Right.
And because the last thing we want people to do is go and not have a good time and not be able to get around and see everything.
Because then they've done their dough.
Yeah.
And, James, I'm interested, how often do you actually, you know, revamp a tour? You know, do you give them a life cycle, or what are the triggers that make you reconsider an itinerary?
I suppose
or
the Syrian one's changed.
Imagine the Syrian one has changed.
Yeah, you need to reevaluate that. So after every single trip that we do, we have people that fill out a kind of survey or questionnaire at the end of the trip. Tell us what they liked, what they didn't like, what they, you know, might recommend changing.
Mm-hmm.
So our product managers who live in each specific area and travel, you know, 8 months of the year, they're constantly reviewing these evaluations to see what it is that we can change to make our product and our tours better. So it's something we're constantly doing and seeing, you know, what can be included or taken out of itinerary to enhance it.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, because there are some locations where things just, you know, change within 4 or 5 weeks.
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we typically, you know, have like a yearly rotation for the tours, and that's where the itineraries. But, you know, we're constantly changing and adding things in depending on the season and the time we're there.
What are the most, now that you've talked about seasonality, what are the most popular seasonal tours? I know that doing the leaves in the northeast of the States around New England is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
What are the other really big seasonal tours that are the things you need to plan for and book for well in advance?
Well, yeah, I'm definitely biased for the fall foliage in the east, in the east coast of the U.S., but...
that's near home.
Yeah, a little bit. So I would recommend definitely some of the Christmas markets in Europe. I think that's a really neat experience, and definitely something you have to plan ahead for, because, you know, it's a relatively small window in that time, in like late November, a couple weeks in early December before the actual Christmas holiday. Mm. But it's just a wonderful time to travel to Europe. If you go in Europe in the summer, it's a totally different experience, you know, with the cold weather, the Christmas atmosphere, and the different markets they have set up. And it's a really good value, too. So,
you're not really quite traveling, and you still can travel on the shoulder season, can't you?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, so we're in sometimes in like the kind of like the down season. So you get really good rates, but it's a totally different experience. And, you know, if you're not too averse to a little bit of a cold weather, you have a lot of fun and see some really neat stuff. So I think that would be the main other thing besides, you know, that fall foliage, or, you know, if you're trying to travel and find certain events, you know, going to the Edinburgh Tattoo in August is very popular, the Chelsea Flower Show in London in May.
I'll get there one day.
And those obviously are specific events that happen at certain times of the year, and we have tours that kind of include them and kind of adapt to that. So, that would be the main thing I would look for and try and tell people to plan ahead.
Here are some benefits you could gain by becoming a Joy 94.9 sponsor. Increase awareness of your product. Increase your customer base. Increase your profits so you can afford that new item you've had your eye on. You know the one I mean. Gregory sponsors Joy, and now his business is just peachy. Isn't that so, Gregory?
Yes, well, I've
had... Wonderful. Dial today, 1-300-JOY-949. Or send your mail electronically. sales@joy.org.au. That's AU as in AU. Sponsor Joy.
And we've got, but we do have someone from North America, but not from Canada. It's from Philadelphia, James Cartmell from Colette. How are you going there, James?
Great. It's back to raining here in Sydney. So.
Oh, thanks for that weather report.
It's sunny here.
It's hit 22 degrees in Melbourne, and it's blue sky.
Great. I'll close my eyes and...
Yeah, pretend you're in sunny Melbourne.
That's it. Or put your sunglasses on at night.
Yeah.
So were you reaching for your Canadian tuxedo when you heard Corey belt out that 80s tune? Or is that before your time?
It's in the back of my closet.
For anybody that doesn't know what a Canadian tuxedo is, it's a denim jacket and a pair of denim jeans.
Yes, I think Bryan Adams might have them. Yes, is he Canadian as well?
Who's that?
Bryan Adams.
Oh, yay. He was a hoser, eh? James, let's talk about your stomping ground. Philadelphia is a city that I have, the city of brotherly love, is a city with the Liberty Bell, and a city where I have a lot of fond memories from going to university for a short while there. What would you recommend for a northeast tour from someone from Australia?
I certainly think, Philadelphia should definitely be included.
I would agree. Just for the love sign.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's a great landmark.
Yes.
And
the Liberty Bell.
Great history. Independence Hall is really interesting, where they signed the Declaration of Independence and read the Constitution. And there's also a lot of cultural history. I mean, no trip to Philadelphia is complete without visiting the famous Art Museum. Wonderful collection on display, and it's kind of similar to Melbourne in that there's a lot of really neat little neighborhoods with some really great restaurants and food and kind of little back alleys. So I would spend some time checking out Old City and Reading Terminal Market. It's a kind of little bit of a local spot that I don't think too many tourists get a chance to see.
Well, when I was in Philadelphia, I was encouraged by some friends to get in a taxi and go to Cherry Hill in New Jersey and try the Outback Steakhouse.
Oh, man.
And was that a successful meal?
I ordered a bloomin' onion just because I wouldn't know what the hell that was. It's an onion they deep fry.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. you can go to Outback, get a bloomin' onion, and order some Foster's, and you're good.
Good to go. Yeah. So what else around the area? Because Jersey's close. You've got Atlantic City. What would you recommend as a tour through the Northeast?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I would definitely spend several days in New York, of course. Yeah, there's just so many things to see there. In New England, I mean, I'm a fan of the countryside up in New England, so I definitely go up into Vermont, New Hampshire. There's a lot of the little small towns there. If you're an ice cream fan, it's where Ben and Jerry's is from.
Vermont, right?
Yeah. You can also go to, like, Cape Cod, Nantucket, Martha's Vineyard, especially in the summertime. That's fantastic.
I need to do a limerick.
Yeah.
There was a man from Antarctica.
Oh, actually, I like going to the Black Dog Shop in Martha's Vineyard.
Yep.
What's in the Black Dog Shop? I'm not familiar.
No, it's just a little...
Black dogs.
Yeah, it's a little brand of clothing, really, that has black dog on it. It's nice. It's a little boutique. Yeah. I suppose
is it like a Scotty dog?
Now. No, it's a bit bigger than a Scotty dog. Like a Labrador kind of looking.
There we go.
Yeah, but Cape Cod's good to have a look at the Pebble.
Yeah.
I haven't been to Cape Cod.
Yeah, and some lobster shacks.
Mm-hmm.
And some lobster.
You got to do a lobster feast while you're there. They won't. I mean, I don't think New Englanders will let you go and not get the lobster.
That's true. They're a bit tenacious like that.
Yeah. And then if you go south, it's not lobster, it's crabs, right? If you're in the Maryland and D.C. area, they're on the Chesapeake Bay, it's all about the crabs.
I got crabs in Baltimore.
Yes, there are.
There's a T-shirt. I didn't actually.
Yep, I've got crab.
It's up there with my Virginia It's for Lovers T-shirt.
As a
tour group professional, what would you say your number one recommendations are to do? Say if someone's never been on a group tour before and they've always travelled independently, but they've decided they want to do something different. What would you recommend people to do? What are your number one suggestions before they go?
I would definitely recommend, some small group trips that we have in Europe. Especially Italy. I mean, if everyone's done a trip to Italy, especially, there's just so much history and different types of things to see there. You get the history.
But more from a preparational point of view, if people are used to doing things on their own, what should they
Do you mean their mindset? Do
yeah, their mindset. To, what, are they, what tips do they need to bring extra Band-Aids?
They need to be friendly because they're in a group.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of the people that you know I've traveled with and I've seen on other tours are people that you know you're like-minded with anyways. You know, they have an interest in going to this destination too and having a great time and learning. So, you know, you're all in it for the same reason. And I think people really connect. You know, I get a letter from somebody I was on a tour with from the UK a couple of years ago, you know, just writing me how much fun she had meeting a bunch of Canadians on the tour and how she keeps in contact with them and writes letters and stuff. So,
oh, that's lovely.
I think that's, you know, there's some really great stories about, you know, meeting new friends. You know, one of the nice things is that when you are on a group tour, there isn't as much preparation. You know, you don't have to do like as much of the research in advance about things to do while you're away, because look, the must-see things and a lot of unique cultural experiences are already included, you know, in your tour. And for the free time, you know, you have a tour manager who's with you every step of the way, and local guides, so that you can ask them like, hey, you know, I want to see, check out some museums, or I want to go to some great restaurants, you know, where do you recommend? So there's not as much stress and research that's necessary before you go on the trip.
So you don't need to take a folio of paperwork with you.
No.
No, you've thrown money at that problem.
Yeah. You know, talk to your local travel professional before you get ready, and they'll help you out. And we always send out like travel documents too, with suggested reading and everything people need to know before they go on the tour.
Hi, I'm SJ, weekday program director at Joy 94.9. Do you identify as lesbian, bi, trans, intersex, or queer? Do you love what we do and want to be involved? Joy needs you. Joy needs you. I need somebody. We are looking for fabulous female voices to join our weekday team. Joy is your community radio station, so let your voice be heard. Become a Joy presenter. And don't worry if you don't know how, we'll show you. Email women@joy.org.au.
And you're in the Escape Pod on Joy 94.9. It is 3:04, 22 degrees outside. And we've got our special guest, James Cartmell from Colette, still on the line. James, before we get to say goodbye, we always ask our guest, what is the one thing that you never leave home without when you're going on a trip?
Oh, yeah, good question. So I actually, a couple things. I always like to bring a picture of my family with me, because many times I have to travel and
so you know who to look for at the airport.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That Love Actually moment when you get home.
Yeah, or, you know, when it's been a long trip, a long plane ride, you know, like to be remembered of what's waiting for me.
Oh, you're a romantic.
Oh, yeah. And also, I always like to just make sure I have my camera, you know, with me, because I like to, you know, I'm not one of these people that I'll go to the place and I'll just be clicking away and not enjoying it. I like to, you know, live it in while you're there and take it all in. But I like to snap a couple pictures and, you know, kind of make people jealous when I get home too.
Nice.
of all these beautiful pictures I took. So yeah, a couple things.
Well, they sound like good tips.
So what's the big trend, the final, just the last thing to say, what's the big trend in group tours?
I think definitely that more of like that free time. Like, yeah, we have a tagline right now, embrace the freedom of guided touring. You know, people don't want to be, you know, up at 6 a.m. every single day doing a huge tour that's going to be, you know, all one night stays and just a whirlwind. It's exhausting talking about it. You need a little bit more quality time. You want to get a good value, a lot of inclusions up front, but have plenty of quality time to really enjoy the destination and kind of savor it a little bit. So, I think that's what we're ahead of the curve of a little bit. And, you know, I think that's where the industry is going. So, I think.
So just becoming a little bit more loosey-goosey with times.
Yeah. Yeah, just having fun, you know, just giving people a little bit of opportunity to get away from the group and have their own experience in a specific city. But also, you know, like I said, include a lot up front and give people a good value.
And thanks again to you, James, for joining us.
Yes, James, thank you so much for coming on air. And the next time you've got something interesting happening in group tours, you'll have to stay in touch.
For sure. Thanks, guys.
And good luck with the new role in Sydney.
Appreciate it.
Okay,
thanks,
bye.
Thanks, bye.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.